court, number one in the courthouse of Vincent County in the county seat of Holman, population 3,543 on the 27th day of November 1945, is convened. Judge Bernard Fitz presiding.
Valentine, America's largest selling ale, presents Barry Fitzgerald, starring in His Honor the Barber, written and produced by Carlton E. Morse. On the street, a striped pole means barbershop, as Judge Fitz would be the first to tell you. Farther along, a marquee over the sidewalk is a symbol for theater, the movies. And another symbol that means pleasure ahead is famous wherever folks get thirsty. It's the three-ring symbol for Ballantine Ale, largest selling ale in America. One ring means purity. One ring means body. One ring means Ballantine flavor. Put together, the three rings mean complete ale satisfaction. Millions will tell you it's the best ale man can make or money can buy. So always ask for Ballantine, America's largest selling ale. It's late afternoon in District Court Number 1. The slanting rays of the autumn air shimmer half-heartedly through the grimy windows and shine apathetically on the thinning hair of Judge Fitz, giving him the effect of wearing a reddish-gold halo. But it isn't a halo the eminent jurist is wearing at the moment, but rather a crown of especially sharp and irritating thorns. A crown of thorns placed upon his judicial brow by Vincent County's own little Hitler, Sheriff McGrath.
Now, why did you find it necessary, Sheriff, to bring this girl before me at 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
We'll take them as we find them. Bring them in when we catch them.
But you know as well as I that I haven't the time to go into the case against this girl. And you likewise know that this is Friday afternoon. And unless I settle the case, she's going to have to remain locked up over the weekend.
She's going to be locked up a lot longer than that after you heard the case.
Are you by any chance trying this case out of court, Sheriff?
I only said that...
I heard what you said. And the more you talk, the more I favor the cause of the defendant.
She's got money. She can get bail.
Do you have $25 for bail, young woman?
No, sir.
She doesn't have bail money, Sheriff.
So what?
Bailiff, let me see that charge against the girl again.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you. Uh-huh. So that's it. Uh-huh. Now what possesses a nice-looking girl such as you to get yourself into a mess like this?
Why not?
Do your parents live in this city?
No.
Or in Vincent County?
No.
I see. And you refuse to give the sheriff your name?
Call me Jane Doe. That's as good as any.
Well, Jane Doe, then there's nothing for me to do. Huh? What's that, bailiff? Speak up, speak up.
That man standing over there, he's just come in with a $50 bail bond for the girl.
Oh, did he know? Have I ever seen him before?
He sometimes does a job for the boys up at the Capitol.
Or one of the cogs in the political machine.
Well, not much of a cog, if you ask me.
Sheriff McGrath, would you step up to the bench?
Well?
Do you know the man standing yonder over at the railing?
Mike Daniels.
And who might Mike Daniels be?
Just one of the hangers-on.
He brought in a bond for the girl's release.
I thought so. He takes care of things like that.
Takes care of things like what?
Like the girl.
Ah, so that's the sort of job he does for the boys down at the Capitol.
I didn't say that.
You don't have to. Now, would you tell me what interest the boys down at the Capitol having a cheap little two-bit purse snatcher such as this one?
Her vote's as good as anybody's.
You mean the political machine of this state goes after the votes of the petty thieves and grafters and the women, as well as influential pressure groups?
You know, Judge, you make everything so complicated.
Is that so?
Certainly. Here's a girl we picked up on the street. Doesn't amount to a hill of beans. First you bother because she might have to stay behind bars over the weekend. Then in comes a guy to go her bail, and instead of signing the papers and getting her out of here, what do you do? Get your wind up because she might be voting for the people who take care of her.
Oh, it's rotten politics.
Well, you can't deny her bail no matter who digs it up.
Step up here again, young woman. That's it. I have a bail bond here made out for a prisoner by the name of Elsie Stanford.
Sure.
Oh, so you admit to a name of your own now, do you?
Sure. I'm Elsie Stanford.
Do you know that man over at the rail?
I've seen him.
Do you work for him?
I don't work for anybody.
Would he be a friend of yours?
Sure. Wouldn't you say a fellow's a friend if he gets you out of hock?
All right, Elsie. I've signed your release.
I can go?
Yes. Oh, just a minute, Elsie.
Well?
If I could arrange it, you wouldn't want to go back home to your family, would you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Now listen, a girl such as you sometimes thinks she's beyond redemption. That's all a lot of malarkey, Elsie. It's never too late to turn back.
Look, you've got a right to lock me up. Okay. Also, when I come to trial, you got a right to give me 30 days. Okay. There ain't anything in the books that gives you the right to preach to me.
You're quite right. Get along with you. Open the gate for a bell. Bail, of course, dismissed. I'll be in me chambers for a few minutes, and then I'm on my way home.
Court dismissed.
Hey, can I talk to you for a minute, Judge?
Oh, it's you, Iris Stevens. Come on into me chambers.
Thanks.
Close the door. Well, me boy, I was a much happier man behind the barber chair. Sit down. Sit down, lad, sit down.
You thinking about that girl?
Yes, and that weasel-faced rat that bailed her out. And the gang that's behind him, and the political machine that's behind the gang, and the central committee that's running the whole works.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you'll be glad to know that the Holman Citizen News is now a dyed-in-the-wool 100% Judge Bernard Fitz supporter.
Well, Ira, you're a good friend. I just hope it's not going to get you into trouble.
Well, maybe we like trouble. Maybe that's what makes a good newspaper. Trouble.
Well, you'll get plenty of it if you stick with me.
Yeah, and another thing. A couple of downstate papers are beginning to take an interest in you.
Is that the truth, now?
You bet. A lot of people in this state's got their eyes on you.
You make me feel as naked as a tadpole in a goldfish bowl.
Uh-oh.
That'll be Susan wondering what's keeping me.
Well, give her my love.
I'll bite out me tongue first. Judge Fitz speaking. Oh, it's you, Susan. What did I tell you?
Go on, give her my love.
I would not. What's that, Susan? Pot roast. Pick up pot roast at Irving's Meat Market. Yes, me dear. I'll be on my way home now right away. Who? Well, what about Joel Corporal Pearson? I suppose he is getting his discharge. Is that any reason why he should clutter up a house? I didn't say he wasn't a nice young man. All I said... All I said... Susan, will you let the judge get a word in edgeways? All I was saying... Susan, darling, are you crying? Of course you can have young men at the house all you want. If I'd known this young man meant so much in your life, I... Ha, that's better, my dear. When you cry, I want to go out and wither up. Oh, yes, and Susan, our newspaper friend, Iris Stevens, is here with me now. Yeah, he asked me to give you his love. Sitting right here at me chambers this minute. Just a moment, I'll ask him. Wait a minute, boy. Susan wants to know, would you come to dinner this evening?
Well, sure. But who's this Corporal Pearson?
I'll tell you about that in a minute. You come?
Sure.
Hello, Susan. He'll be glad to come, and he thanks you for the invitation. Now, powder your nose, wipe your eyes, and be ready for us when we get there. Goodbye.
I don't get it, Judge.
Well, it's a celebration party. Corporal Joel Pearson is receiving his discharge down at camp this afternoon. The dinner is in his honor.
Hey, you don't happen to be talking about young Pearson, who's a nephew of Mrs. John Quincy Sorley?
Same.
Well, I never thought you'd be entertaining a relative of the Vincent County Civic League in your house.
Oh, the boy doesn't hold with his aunt's political ideas.
Hmm. I didn't know Susan was so confounded interested in a soldier boy.
Well, you heard it yourself. Burst into tears over the telephone when I tried to cross her.
Oh, what's this corporal got that I haven't got?
Well, he's a good-looking lad.
Oh, thanks for nothing. Does he live around here?
No, California.
Oh, well, that's quite a ways from Vincent County. and with him getting his discharge...
Oh, I wouldn't count on it.
No?
No, he's thinking of practicing the law here in Holman.
Hey, are you going to back him if he puts up a shingle?
Well, I haven't made up my mind yet.
Well, for a man who's kicked up as much fuss as you did over the phone about having him in your house, you sound awful friendly to me.
He could be a good lawyer and still not make Susan a good husband.
What kind of a husband do you think I'd make, Susan?
Sure,
I get it. Okay, I'm coming to dinner tonight, Judge, but you're not fooling me for a minute. You're playing the soldier and me off against each other.
And how can you even think of
it? And it's a low-down, dirty trick, too. And I just hope I can do the same for you sometime.
And so while we wait for Corporal Pearson to get back to Holman from camp, and Judge Fitz sets about to protect his interest in Susan against the wolves, let us dwell upon the delights of that pot roast in the offing. As you draw up your chair to something savory like that, be it meat, fish, or fowl, you are face to face with a grand opportunity to enjoy Ballantine Ale. Every mealtime is the chance of a lifetime to find out why. Why is Ballantine Ale first choice of the nation? The largest-selling, fastest-selling ale in America. You want to know why? Well, find out the convincing way, the pleasantest way in the world. Apply the famous three-swallow test. One swallow for each ring in the Ballantine three-ring trademark. Take a swallow for purity. The first ring, the first feature. Take another to check on Ballantine body and see how feather-light real ale can be. And top it off with a long, slow swallow to get the full value of that matchless flavor. Flavor is the third ring, the third big reason that Ballantine Ale outsells all other kinds. Tell the man you want Ballantine, America's largest selling ale.
Uncle Fitz.
Yes, Susan?
Do you think you're going to look your very best tonight, sitting there in that old smoking jacket and those flappy down-at-the-heel bedroom slippers?
Me girl, it isn't the garment that makes the man, but the wit and brilliance of his mind and the honesty of his soul.
Ira and Joel will be here any time. You could sit up straight and not let your glasses slide down on the end of your nose.
And what's the matter with the way you yap?
You're all scrouched down on the back of your spine.
I sit straight when I'm on the bench. If I wish to scrouch in the privacy of me home...
Okay, scrouch. But at least pull your glasses up where they belong.
And if I do that, how am I going to see over the top of them?
But if you want to read without them, take them off.
Susan, the doctor told me never to read without me glasses. You were there when he said it.
Oh, sure, but what good does it do to...
Well, so I wear me glasses to satisfy the doctor, and I read over the top of them to satisfy myself, and that way everyone is happy.
Oh, sometimes, Uncle Fitz. Oh, there they are. I'll go let them in.
Pull yourself together, girl. Pull yourself together.
I should have run up and checked on the makeup. Oh, well.
Good evening, Miss Susan. Could I see Judge Fitz?
Oh, why, yes, I think so.
I'm Tom Simmons.
Yes, I know who you are, Tom.
And this is my mammy. I brought her along.
Come on in, Mrs. Simmons. Come on, Tom.
Well, thank you.
The judge is in the living room. Right in here, please. Uncle Fitz, it's visitors for you.
What's that? Oh, it's you, Tom.
Yes, sir.
And this is Mrs. Simmons, Tom's mother.
Good evening, Mr. Judge Fitz, sir.
Well, now, I'm mighty glad you came along, Mrs. Simmons. Mighty glad. When I have dealings with a young man, there's nothing better for sizing him up than to have a look at his mother.
Here, sit down, Mrs. Simmons.
Of course. And you too, Tom. Sit down, boy. Sit down.
Thank you kindly, sir.
Now then, what is it, Tom?
Well... I finished serving my 10 days, sir.
Yes, I heard about that.
Well, sir, if you remember, I've been thinking a lot about the things you said to me before you sentenced me, and, well, I guess they stuck in my craw.
He can't talk about anything else, Mr. Judge Fitz.
Is that so, man?
Seems like he's seen the light, like he's been converted. It's like he was marching right up the glory road with hallelujah singing in his soul.
My ma'am is very religious.
And is that anything to be laughing at, Tom?
Oh, no, sir. Only I thought maybe you might not understand her talking like she was. Of
course he understands, Tom. Man can't talk about having responsibilities like he told you and about having pride and self-respect if he didn't know about religion.
Are those the things that impressed you, Tom?
Yes, sir. but mostly what you said about me having a responsibility to the whole Negro race. That if I personally do something to degrade or humiliate or make ridiculous the race I belong to, well, I set my people back just that many more years.
Tom, you've got a fine memory for words and phrases.
And something else, sir. You said a man's got to be self-respecting before he can ask others to respect him.
Well, what's it like religion come in our house, Mr. Judge? Since Tom come home from jail this afternoon and told us what you said to him and how he's been thinking about it all these 10 days, oh, it's like our house is full of glory and sunshine and praise for the good Lord.
Yes, I see. Tom, I think I told you to come and see me when you'd finished your sentence. I said I'd help you.
Yes, Judge Fitz.
And that's why you're here?
Yes, sir. Sitting in the jail down yonder, well, I got to thinking. Why do the people make jokes about the Negro being lazy and stealing chickens and make out like the whole colored race is shiftless and easygoing and ignorant? Well, my ma'am is not shiftless, and she never stole a chicken in her whole life.
Yeah, but you did, Tom. You just got out of jail for doing it.
But you don't say every white man is a gangster because Al Capone was a gangster.
Well, now, let me tell you something about that, Tom. A lot of people in England and on the continent think that's just what Americans are. There was a time the motion pictures were flooding the world with gangster pictures, and the papers were full of the Capone gang and hijackers and racketeers, until other countries thought we were a nation of thieves and pirates.
I didn't know that.
Well, it's just as true for one race as it is for another. What a few people do reflects on the whole people.
But why don't people think of Paul Robeson and Booker T. Washington and Marian Anderson and George Washington Carver? Folks like them. Don't they reflect our people just as much as me stealing a chicken?
Well, Tom, it's just not in human nature. They'd believe bad about a man without a question, but it takes the human creature a long time to acknowledge the good in him.
I guess you're right, sir. But it's a shame, isn't it?
It is a dirty, rotten shame, Tom, and not worthy of us.
If you feel this way, Tom, I should think you'd want to do something about it.
Yes, Miss Susie, I do.
Oh, do you know what?
Oh, that's what I come to see Judge Fitz about. Judge, sir, could a colored boy like me ever get to be a judge like you?
You want to be a judge?
Sir, I could sit up on a bench in court and talk to my people like you talked to me 10 days ago. But, Your Honor, I'd devote my whole life to doing just that. Talking to them the way you talk to me.
Now, why not?
You think I could?
Well, there are a lot of fine Negro lawyers, Tom, and quite a number of judges. Now, let's see, you graduated from high school, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did.
Were you a good student?
Oh, we mighty proud. Tall Mr. Judge Fitzer, mighty proud. He graduated number 3 out of white folks and everybody in his class.
Oh, that's fine, fine. That must have been 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes, sir. I got stymied after high school. I got all mixed up. But I could study and catch up. I could study nights. Daytimes, I got to work, but nighttimes, I got all to myself.
Now, what kind of work would you be thinking of doing, Tom?
Anything, sir. Now I got something to work for, I'd do just about anything.
How would you like to learn the barbering trade, Tom?
Well, I don't know.
You got anything against being a barber?
No, sir. I just never thought about it. I just honestly never thought about it.
Well, barbering's a fine occupation, Tom. What do you think, Susan?
Well, I think you're a darling.
Well, there you are, Tom. You say the word, and I'll teach you barbering by day, and I'll furnish you the books to study law by night.
Hallelujah!
What's that?
I say hallelujah right in court, Judge. I say praise the good Lord.
Oh, yes. Well, there it is, Tom. What about it?
You kind of took me by surprise. I'd like to come back and thank you proper, like, to tell you the truth, Your Honor. My heart's so full, it's choking me.
Well, no, it's all right. That's settled. Now, don't try to talk now. Come back and see me tomorrow. Come down to the court.
Yes, sir. Come on, Mammy.
I'll go with you to the door.
There's an awful lot of people going to hear about this, Miss Susan. An awful lot. Sometime, maybe, the judge will need friends.
Come on, Mammy.
They're gone?
You know, Uncle Fitz, you're going to be criticized for this. But I don't think I've ever loved you as much as I do this moment.
Ah, the lad's got a bitter, hard row to hoe, Susan.
But you've given him the chance to hoe it. You've given him a row to hoe. That's all he wants. I wonder if that isn't all any of them want.
Oh, some yes, some no. They're just like the rest of humanity, Susan. And there's not a one of us one bit better than he should be. No, not even one of us. Susan, I think you never cooked a better supper in your life.
Wonderful, Susan.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Corporal.
Just plain Joel Pearson from now on, Ira. But no kidding, Susan, I've never eaten pot roast and oven brown potatoes to equal yours.
So the old adage, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, is right.
After tonight, I'm yours, body and soul, Susan.
Hey, that was my line, newsboy.
And tell me, where did you get the whipped cream for the pumpkin pie?
Oh, that was contributed by Joel. You'll have to ask him.
Oh, I just happen to know a cow.
Well, now if we're finished, I wish you and Susan would go out on the front porch for a little.
Swell.
Hey, just a minute now.
Yes, what cooks?
Well, if my memory serves me, you wished to take up the practice of law in Vincent County.
Well, yes, Judge Fitz.
Well, but I thought we might sit here at the table a few minutes and talk about it.
Uncle Fitz, you mean you're going to help him?
Susan, this is a matter between Joel and myself.
Oh, you're a good egg. Come on, Ira.
But it's kind of dark out in the front porch. Wouldn't you two rather sit in the front room?
Oh, don't worry about the dark, Joel. I'm not afraid of it. And if Susan is, well, that's all the better. Go on, Susan.
Don't be too long.
I don't know whether I trust that man, Judge Fitz.
Oh, he's very fond of Susan.
That's just what I mean.
Now then, about you coming to home.
You don't think maybe we all ought to go out on the front porch?
No. This is fine. As I was saying, I've been thinking over your desire to set up a law practice here in Holman. Joel, if you tip back your chair any further, you'll fall over backwards and most likely break your neck.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, besides, you can't see the front porch out of that window. Now then, about your coming to Holman to live.
Yes, sir, if you like.
If I like.
Huh? Oh, I mean, of course I want to come to Holman. Naturally, I do.
Well, now, you're young and ambitious. You're not tied up to any political affiliations, which is in your favor. Oh, yes, and about that. The attorney this town needs is one who'll fight the political bigwigs tooth and nail. Are you going to be able to do that wholeheartedly? I mean, after all, you have family connections with Mrs. John Quincy Sawley, and she's been a thorn in the side of justice since I've been on the bench. Now, could you divorce yourself from the things she stands for? I said, young man, I'm talking to you.
Huh? Oh, what was that?
What was that strained expression on your face? You looked like you were listening for the last bugle call.
I thought I heard the porch swing. It's pretty small, but they wouldn't be sitting in that, would they?
Did you hear anything that I've been saying to you?
Oh, yes, of course, Judge. You asked me whether I'd like to come to Holman. I thought I told you I would.
You mean I went into my entire analysis of the political situation in Vincent County without you having heard a word?
Look, Judge, couldn't I come down to the court tomorrow and talk to you about this?
I like a man who can concentrate on the business at hand.
Well, how can you expect a man to concentrate when his girl's out there occupying a porch swing in the dark?
Now, see here, Joel Pearson, just because I can use a decent, self-respecting lawyer in this town is no reason for you to think you can invade the sanctity, not to mention the privacy of me home.
But you invited me here.
I didn't invite you to take over Susan. You're a girl.
Well, a fella's got to have a girl, Judge. And the minute I saw Susan...
Fitz is my niece and ward. Mine, not yours. And as a student of jurisprudence, you must be aware that possession is 9 points of the law.
Well, neither one of us is going to have her if we leave her out in that port swing with that newspaper wolf.
Iris Stevens is no wolf.
Oh, isn't he?
Is that you, Susan?
Yes, may Ira and I come in? Aren't you almost...
Oh, sure. Come on.
Well, come on, Ira.
Oh, it's stuffy in the house. Why do we want to come back in here?
Oh, Uncle Fitz, Ira's just been telling me about how the Citizen News has stimulated other independent newspapers in the state to take an interest in your political fight.
Hey, fellow, what's that stuff on your face?
Yes, I was just about to remark that myself.
Well, Ira, at least you could wipe off the lipstick.
Susan, I'm ashamed of you. Kissing every young man.
You said Ira Stevens wasn't a wolf.
But Uncle Fitz, a girl can thank a man, can't she, for the good work he's doing for her uncle?
Yeah, sure. What's wrong with that?
There are other ways of showing gratitude besides smearing a man from chin to eyebrow with lipstick.
Yeah, a fine thing. And on my first night out of the Army...
I don't know what you two are griping about. I found it very stimulating.
I'm disappointed in you, Ira.
Oh, now, Judge.
Disappointed.
Oh, now, Uncle Fitz.
As for you, Susan, am I going to have trouble with you the rest of me days, the days of me life?
You mean about men?
That's just what I mean about men.
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Judge Fitz, if you'd allow me to make a suggestion...
I don't want to hear any more about it. I'm disappointed in the lot of you.
Oh, no.
Yes, I am. In the lot of you. In fact, I may be disappointed in the whole younger generation. I'm not sure about that yet, but I'll have to think about it.
Oh, you're going to wash your hands of the lot of us.
That's just what I'm going to do. Susan, isn't it my bedtime?
Well, it's a little early.
Nothing of the kind. It's my bedtime. So good night to you, young man.
Well, hey.
Good night, Corporal Pearson.
Oh, look, Judge.
Good night, Ira. Close the door behind you.
Well, okay. Come on, Corporal. I guess he means it.
Susan.
Good night, Joel. The Oracle has spoken.
You mean?
Good night.
Yeah. Good night.
Night, Susan.
Good night. Now, aren't you ashamed, Judge Fitz? No, look me in the eye.
No, Susan, lass.
No, look at me, sending two nice young men away at this unholy hour of 9:30.
Susan, how can you be interested in such addle-pated young know-nothings?
They're nice and wholesome.
Yes, so is a bottle of homogenized milk.
Now you're just being grumpy.
Well, I can't stand them brainless young puppies.
Ira's not so brainless the way he's got his paper fighting for you against power politics.
It's when they're around you, they seem to go all to pieces.
Uncle Fitz, you say the nicest thing.
You're a wicked girl, Susan. You're breaking your poor uncle's heart.
Oh, Uncle Fitz.
Breaking your old uncle's heart. I may even take to dissipation as a result of it.
Soon, do you think?
I'm going to bed. Ah, nobody has sympathy for a man who's lost his pride.
Oh, I love you.
No, I'm going to bed. Alone, by myself. Yes, I may pass away in the night. But that's all right. You'll have two fine young men to marry you and take care of you.
Shame on you for such talk.
Good night, Susan. And if I pass away in your sleep, now hold a kind thought for your old uncle. Good night.
The leader of the town band in Holman is a pretty busy fellow. What with election day and boys coming home, the instruments hardly have a chance to cool off.
We rehearse every Monday night, too.
Oh, this is Freddie Bartlett, bandmaster, who puts aside his silver cornet for a moment to beat the drum for Ballantine Ale.
Say, that's more fun than leading the band.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to hear you say so.
I do say so, and what's more, it's a lot easier to get the fellas to band practice since we took to stopping in for a Ballantine Ale after the session.
Your last number is always three ring time, eh?
Yes, and that's one number we can all get together on.
Yes, it's easy for everybody to get together on the subject of Ballantine Ale. It's America's favorite. A grand addition to any good meal, the table made of any sandwich, and a beautiful death for the worst of thirsts. That's three times to enjoy the three ring beverage. Three times for you to tell the man that you want Ballantine, America's largest selling ale. If the supply is short where you are, keep asking until you get it. His Honor the Barber, written and directed by Carlton E. Morse, stars Barry Fitzgerald.
My old Uncle Joe is my favorite shirt sleeve philosopher. Uncle Joe used to say, people become quieter as they grow older. Yeah, they got more to keep quiet about. Good night.
His Honor the Barber, presented by Ballantine Ale, is based on original characters created by Nate Slott. Orchestra and music under the direction of O.B. Cage. This is Frank Martin speaking.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.